Hello, here we go. Okay. Good morning, Crossroads. If you are out in the lobby, would you please join us in here for the service? We have a good one for you today. For those of you that don't know, maybe you just stumbled in, and what a good day to stumble in because this is Youth Sunday. We are so excited. Yeah. Awesome. So I guess this is our second Youth Sunday that we've done here at Crossroads. As I'm sure a lot of you know, Crossroads is a church that is heavily invested in the next generation. I've been in youth ministry for a while now. I've worked with a lot of churches, and Crossroads invests in an uncommon way in the next generation. You know, we have projects like building our legacy and things like that, but there's such an emphasis on pouring into youth who ultimately is the future of the church. So we're here to talk about it, and you're going to get to hear from some of our youth, myself, and then you're going to get a opportunity to renew the youth in your spirit. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this house, Lord. God, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to potentially for some of us get to look in the mirror and say, is my spirit youthful? Can I relate to the faith of these students? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to have a youthful faith, God. Childlike faith in you, Lord. God, I pray that this service today would stir up that childlike faith in everyone who hears and everyone who is here. God, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Zeandri, known as Z, is going to lead us in communion today. God bless you.
Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Great. Before I get started, I just wanted to really focus on like why communion is so important. Communion is a time of remembrance and reflection of what Jesus did for us, as well as to understand and continue to acknowledge Christ's act. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Galatians 2:16-21 says, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So, just one last check. Does everyone have a cup and bread? Okay, awesome. So, we can take the bread. And 1 Corinthians 11:28-32 says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, but a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." And 23-24, if you want to raise your bread, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' So, Lord, I pray we come before you and ask that you bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who receive it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of your Son and witness to you, that they are willing to take upon them the name of your Son and always remember him and keep the commandments which he's given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Now let us eat. You can take the cup now. And raise it. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for washing us clean of our sins. We stand before you completely righteous and forgiven. Your blood has redeemed us from every curse, and today we can freely receive all the blessings that crown the head of the righteous. Amen. Now you may drink. I want to end us in another prayer. Lord, we come to you in unity and reverence. We thank you for the gift of communion and the bond we share in our faith. May we always remember that we are not alone, but are part of a more prominent family. May our love for you and each other draw us closer together. Amen.
Good morning. This is super weird for me, guys. Usually I'm looking at the back of your heads and not your faces. So I'm Danny Harrison. I am the media director here at Crossroads, and I volunteer with the youth and young adults. I'm going to be bringing up some girls from the youth group if you guys want to come up. We're going to be doing a panel, and they will introduce themselves as well. Have a seat. Do you want to turn that on? All right. Thanks for... Woo! That's hot.
Hi, my name is Anaya, and I'm a senior in high school.
My name is Z. I'm also a senior.
My name's Taylor, and I'm in 10th grade.
Awesome. Thank you. So we got some questions for them. And then maybe at the end, if there's time, we'll ask you guys if you have any questions for them as well. So hopefully this is edifying for everyone. Okay, so what Bible verse has stuck with you through the years you've been walking with the Lord?
Philippians 4:13, it was a verse that my mom had said a lot, and I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and it really, just gives me a lot of courage, to keep going and, to stay strong through things.
Awesome. Mine's the wallpaper on my phone. It's Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This has had a big impact as of recently in my life because I used to be the person who wears their heart on their sleeve, always pouring out for people, giving for others, but that ended up reflecting poorly back on me. People took that for granted, and so I now guard my heart, but not just for me, but for what God has for me.
That's good.
I actually have mine tattooed on me. Thank you. Mine's 2 Timothy 1:7, for I don't live in a spirit of fear, but in the power of love and a sound mind. I'm trying to watch my words more, and this has always stayed with me on how to guard how I speak and how to be more intentional.
That's good. How do you see the love of Jesus daily in your life? Does anybody want to turn off their phones? We got some music going through everything.
Probably my family showed me a lot of love. I've gotten it from my family, from my youth leaders here at Crossroads, my pastors. I'm extremely thankful for them for showing me God's love.
I would also have to say my family and just what God's been doing and working in our lives here and in South Africa, because that's where my whole family is right now. So I just see it constantly with updates that they give us and just any hardships. I just see God's love in the unity that we have.
That's good.
I probably see it most through my friend group, my mentors, and my sister. These are the friends that I've prayed for since I was 12. I had the wrong group and the wrong mentality, and I remember just like crying in my bedroom. I'm like, Lord, just send me the friends that you know is going to bless my life, and I can do the same to them. And now I have my youth group, my work friends, my sister and I, all that.
It's good. It's the power of the youth coming together. Love it. What does it mean to you when Jesus tells us to pick up our cross?
So I do flag worship, and for me, picking up my cross is like picking up my flags. So they're like swords. And whenever God stands up, he commands you to go down. And that's, the flag is like mine.
Your sword? That's good. It's powerful. Nothing? All right. How can I know that it's God's voice I'm hearing and not my own? Or how does God speak to each one of you?
I feel like the world, like, is constantly, like, changing, but, like, God's character, he will stay consistent through all of it. So, and anything that's, like, negative, like, it's probably not from him.
That's good.
Yes.
That 100%. Also, years of discernment in like how he speaks and figuring out where he speaks with you in your life. He's always spoken to me through worship songs and music and dreams as well. So I've been instilled in me since young by my dad to record my dreams, whether that be through voice memos or write it down, because most of the time when I remember a dream, it has a prophetic meaning.
Awesome. That's good. That's for all of us.
I've heard him speak to me, and I've gotten like vision stuff before, but the most I hear him is whenever it's the most silent, and it's like the smallest whisper possible, but you know that's like the biggest meaning possible too.
Mm-hmm. That's good. How do you maintain your fire for God?
Challenging myself daily, putting myself in situations that are uncomfortable, but that will grow me. And as of this year, I joined with Mitchell and we started a Jesus Club at my school. And that has been very stretching. And that is a daily thing that I'm working towards, trying to promote the club to have people come, but also like sow into the kids at my school.
Good.
Really by surrounding myself with other godly people, like people that are also just on fire for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. You have anything, Anaya?
Probably self-discipline, because I like to stay very busy, and it's easy, well, it's not easy to forget time with God, but at the same time it is, because things are put in your way to purposely forget it. It's a challenge from the devil for sure. But self-discipline, like I get up very early in the morning and I start and end my day and then fill in between with as much just prayer as possible.
That's good. How do you switch back into normal life after going to something like winter retreat? So if you guys don't know, we just went to winter retreat. When was that? January 13th through the 15th, yeah. And there's so much going on. You can really feel the presence of the Lord. And, you know, when you're steeped in that, sometimes it's really hard to come out and you don't really know what to do, you know, that transition to normal life. So how are you guys, you know, maintaining, you know, staying in the presence? And what's that look like for you?
I feel like it's a walk with God. You, like, it could be, it's a drastic change from, like, going to, like, everyone, like, worshiping and singing, like, pretty much like the whole time you're there to like quiet, peaceful life. But I'd say worship, like it's more like of a heart posture, so you could carry that with you no matter what you're doing, like just throughout your daily life, like become like one with God and walking with Him.
That's good.
I would say at those types of meetings, I know my cup overflows with just pouring in like information that the sermons are giving and the time in worship. And then I use that for not only myself, but for people around me. I pour into them as well to have their cup have a beginning at least, and then help them maintain that themselves. Because it's one thing to be given the information, but it's what you do after that what makes a difference.
That's a good word.
So if any of y'all have ever done any type of youth gathering, been to a youth group, been to a retreat, you know that just like you get emptied and then you get refilled. But like it's like on your way back to like transitioning back to normal life, it's like your cup tips a little bit. And it's hard to just keep it stable. So for me, I reapplied a lot of things to my life, and like I said earlier, applying a lot of self-discipline.
Yeah.
And I've definitely am not the same since winter retreat.
Amazing. Awesome. The value of winter retreat. Okay. Oh, how were you impacted by winter retreat?
Saturday night is like the big worship night. And before that, we had a sermon. It was a joint sermon by Emily Payne and Jeff, who is a youth leader with Dove Westgate. And it was unplanned. It wasn't like the usual sermons. It was more open and for us as kids to kind of take control, take lead. And they broke down so many walls that I think if that wasn't done, what happened during that worship that night wouldn't have been made possible. I mean, we had many, many kids go up and confess sins and like reclaim freedom. And I think with the help of Emily and Jeff, that was just made possible. And it was truly incredible.
It's good.
So I was one of the kids that got broken down and rebuilt, and I got delivered of a lot of things, and it's just absolutely life-changing. That night will like I will forever remember it.
It's good. Thank you guys.
There was a time where you could go to get a prophetic word during when we had free time. I went with a friend. First time we went, the line was really long, so we ended up not staying, but we ended up going back later that day. And I got a word about like going on mission trips, and like I'm already starting to see some of the fruit of that.
Awesome. It's good. What can we as adults do for you to help grow you in Jesus?
Honestly, I think just treat us like how you would any other person.
That's good.
Going along with that, like treating us as your own, like taking us under your wing, that mentorship, it goes a long, long way. Even if it's just for our season now, you guys like sowing into us and vice versa, if we can do that for you as well, that relationship is for years to come, like will show so much fruit. I truly like it's really just treating us like anybody else. I think
it's good.
Piggybacking off of both of those, just the mentorship, and just I've experienced both sides of being same and different in front of and behind people. And the mentors I have now, my youth leaders and my mentors at my work, and all of, like, they're the same in front of me, behind closed doors and open spaces. And it's just inspiring to know that, like, to have those true mentors around.
Yeah, that's good. If anybody wants to mentor the youth, now's the time, step up. Has God shown you your calling and purpose? And if so, what does that look like?
I would say it's almost about a year ago to Youth Sunday, last year's Youth Sunday. I talked about getting the word of being a prayer warrior and laying myself down and letting God speak through me when, like, prophesying over people or just praying for people. And I mean, I've stepped into that word, and man, has it made a difference in my life and shifted my perspective for good.
I've gotten words on a couple different things, but I feel really led for youth and worship especially, and I've definitely seen those fruits like bear in the last few months mostly. It's been like less than a year, more than half a year. But yeah, it's good.
I feel like God showed me like words for like a lot of different things of how my life like could end up like. I'm not completely sure how it is, but I know if I keep following him and just obeying him and doing everything he says, then it's going to turn out good.
That's good. Yeah. Even us adults have to remember that. And what is the biggest challenge you are facing in your generation, and how are you handling that?
The desensitization to anxiety and fear. Gen Z, I mean, that's, people have made that their identity, whether that truly is theirs or not. And it's a cliche in the church to be like, oh, you know, like pray for no more fear, no more worry. But I also struggled with that for a little bit. But it was when I changed my mindset from worrying about the unknown to manifesting in God and knowing that he needs to know what's going to happen. I just need to trust that he knows and follow behind him.
That's good. Amen.
Definitely confusion. Confusion is put in everything, and you're made to decide, like, especially abruptly, on really large subjects that we are just now starting to learn about. Like, the confusion between being okay with something and then not being okay with it. Mm. But if you're okay with it, you're great. But if you're not okay with it, then you get hit a lot harder. And just being okay with going after people and just tearing people down and just being okay with stuff tearing people apart.
Mm. Okay. Let's see. Ooh, what does your secret place look like practically?
It's a good one.
It's a juicy one.
I would say since getting my license, my time in the car, going to school, after school, running errands on weekends, I take that time as my secret place. I crank up the volume, blast some worship music, and that is just like, I know it's kind of like a fishbowl because people can see in your car, but that to me is my like time where I can focus, my head's more clear. And I just talk out loud and I have a conversation as if God's in the passenger seat with me.
Probably just when I'm in my room alone at night. In my house, it could be very loud during the day sometimes. So I'm thankful for when I do get that quiet time.
It's good.
Mine is definitely my car too. Like, you can cry in the car and the car won't judge you. God won't judge you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the people on the other side of the road might.
The other place is I have a cow, and just sitting in her field, and she'll just like sit with me and just let me cry on her. Oh, and wow. Like I said earlier, like in the solitude, that's when God seems to yell the loudest. Mm. And those two places is where I hear him the most.
That's good. We're good? All right, guys, that's us. We're going to wrap up. Thank you so much. We're going to have Mitchell come up, bring the word.
Awesome, awesome, awesome job, everybody. Sweet. Thank you. Wow. My absolute favorite thing is hearing about the faith of youth. I don't know about you guys, but I just, you know, it stirs me up. And it causes me to do like a heart check in myself, you know, hearing from them. It's like, man, you know, like we're supposed to be looking at them and their faith as, you know, as a model. So with that being said, I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then I have a very short, brief message I want to share. And then we're going to, like I said in the beginning, have a time where you yourself can restore youthfulness in your spirit. Or if you just want more, you can come and receive more. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We invite you here, Lord God. We want more of your presence, more of your spirit, Lord. God, I pray that youthfulness is being restored and will continue to be restored in our spirits, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray that we would experience your heart for the next generation, Lord, not our will or not our feelings for the next generation, Lord, but I pray that we would experience your heart and your will for the next generation, God, and what you have for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So my name is Mitchell, my wife and I have been coming to Crossroads for a while now, and we lead the youth here, and it is honestly one of the greatest honors in my life, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made, is being involved in youth ministry. I myself am the byproduct of youth ministry. I grew up in the church. I was not living for the Lord during my youth. You know, something that we commonly say is like saved, not surrendered. You know, my life wasn't surrendered to the Lord. I believed in God and everything, and you know, all the stuff that you know, I knew what I needed to know type thing. But I wasn't surrendered and living for the Lord. However, that foundation was still there. So I still, when I started living for the Lord when I was 18. So I just missed the cut for that. But the foundation had been laid. Like, I was raised in the church. I went to youth group. And I actually still, to this day, like, pretty regularly meet with my youth leaders from youth group. Like, from, gosh, 15 years ago. 12, I don't know, however old. But these are people that are still, that impacted me then and are still impacting me now. So I think it's easy to kind of think of a youth's time as a youth as very short, but it's very impactful. You know, 4 years that a student is in high school. Man, with that being said, like I said, doing youth ministry is one of the best decisions that I've ever made in my walk with Christ, because ultimately, for me to learn about Jesus, I need to be searching him out in others and bringing him out in others. And Jesus's ministry was the most intentional with the next generation. So his disciples were like 13 to mid-20s, the 12 disciples. And if we want to truly model and continue Jesus's ministry, it looks like discipling the next generation. And that's for every believer. That's not something that, you know, I got a specific word that I'm called youth ministry, and therefore, you know, it's not that. It's if we collectively as the church are going to continue Jesus' ministry, it looks like discipling the next generation. Because a healthy church, for the church to be healthy, rather, we have to come alongside what the Lord is doing, because the next generation needs the church just as much as the church needs the next generation. If we're not discipling the next generation, we don't have a healthy church, we have a hospice church. And what a hospice church looks like is staying comfortable until death. That's what church without discipling the next generation looks like. I say it all the time, like if a church is not heavily invested in the next generation, it has a lifespan of about 10 years. If you assess, like, even people who are on the worship team and who's, you know, doing the media, like, it's a lot of young adults. You know, it's a lot of people that were in youth group 10 years ago. That's you know, I mean, some of us, you know, might even, maybe some of us weren't in youth group. And like, you know, obviously, you know, at some point along the line, we decided to live for the Lord. But a lot of people that serve church were in youth group just 10 years ago. And that's what a healthy church looks like, is stewarding what the Lord is doing in the next generation. So like I say, if you really want to be a part of what God is doing next, or the next move of God that, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, the next move of God meets every Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. right here, and you're invited to be a part of it. Praise God. Yeah. So just to kind of hammer this point home, that that there is plenty of need for discipling the next generation, I read this data from the Barna Group, and this data is from a survey that was done with youth who identify as Christian. So out of all of the youth, it was like, it was a lot of thousands and thousands of youth were surveyed. 8% were to be considered committed believers. And what their qualifications for a committed believer was, is they believe Jesus is God, that sin is only forgiven through Jesus, that the Bible is the Word of God, that they pray at least once a week and read Scripture at least once a week. That was the qualifications for a committed believer, and only 8% of Christian youth surveyed met those qualifications. Those are not terribly high standards. 45% said all religions are the same. 58% feel no responsibility to share their faith. 35% were reported to have suicidal thoughts within the last 3 months. 3 out of 4 feel lonely. 3 out of 5 feel depressed. 56% said premarital sex was acceptable. And just going off of some of these statistics and other statistics, they're estimating that over 30 million youth will leave the Christian faith over the next 30 years. So there is a need. There is clearly a need here. And, you know, we as the church, Big C Church, American Church, we crush it on Sunday mornings. Hallelujah, right? We have figured out how to do a church service really well, okay? And praise God for that, right? Amen. Yeah, praise God. A lot of work goes into this, and we're really good at it, okay? But according to these statistics, our attention and emphasis also needs to be throughout the week. Because if we look at, if we think of church as a meal, and we're coming and we're feeding our kids on Sunday mornings and even Tuesday nights, that's 1 or 2 meals a week, okay? That's called neglect, if you're only feeding your kid 1 or 2 times a week. Being, like, feeding the next generation, feeding the spirit and the faith of the next generation is a walk of life. It's a lifestyle. It's not just doing something really good and putting on, you know, a really impressive youth group on Tuesday nights, or doing a really good Sunday service. There's more than that. Like, obviously we're called to come together, and there's no question about that. But we're also called to go and make disciples, right? Jesus didn't say go and hope somebody else makes disciples. That's not what he said. He said, you have been given authority, go therefore and make disciples. And that's the call to every believer, is to go and make disciples of the next generation. And I think that a lot of people struggle with a sense of, like, disqualifying themselves. And honestly, the Lord is the only one who can disqualify. With, like, youth ministry, there's obviously some, like, hard, you know, no's. But for the most part, I think people disqualify themselves too quickly, thinking that, like, they're, you know, whatever, too old or too young or too lack too much energy. Don't, my personal pet peeve, don't have enough time. Me neither. Right? Okay. But somehow we find time for our priorities. So without that, without us coming alongside the next generation and the church partnering with the next generation and going after the next generation, then we have started the clock for ultimately, like, the downfall of what I believe to be how we do church now. Because obviously, as we see, we have to incorporate the next generation, or church is not going to work long term. And I would say my last point here is that I know in this room, there's a lot of people that have gotten a lot of prophetic words, that have gotten a lot of sense of calling and identity instilled in them, in you. And I feel like what happens is we wait for the opportune time or for the voice of the Lord or for something to happen to where, okay, I've got all this, I've taken in all this information. I'm confident that I'm called to do ministry, and I'm just waiting on the Lord to tell me, today is the day you're gonna plant your church, or today is the day you're gonna start your YouTube channel, or today is the day you're gonna, you know, insert starting ministry. And there's a lot of us that are sitting on that and waiting for that opportunity to start a ministry. But I would like to propose that there's a ministry already going on, and the Lord is waiting for you to step in it to start you. I think there's a lot of believers that are sitting on knowledge and that are sitting on things that can help the next generation, that can continue this call to go and make disciples. And we're waiting for the opportune time. Well, I need more time. If I had more time, I would do it. If I had more money, I would do it. It doesn't take money to do this. Believe me, I have the bank statements to prove it. So you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be super cool. You don't have to have a ton of energy. All you have to have is a heart to see the Great Commission fulfilled. That is what it takes. So with that being said, I want to have Peter. There he is. I'm going to have Peter come up here, and we're going to do a little introspection, a little ministry time. And I think there's something special here for all of us. So if anything I've said has spoken to you or resonated with your heart or with your spirit, and you want youth restored in your spirit or just a fresh dose, I want you to stand up if that's you. Awesome. Right now. Praise God. Awesome. And if you're a youth, I want you to come forward. Awesome. All right. If you are standing, I want to encourage you to come and receive prayer from one of the youth that are standing up here. Even if you're not standing and you still want to come up, come and get it. Like, it's free. It's not going to cost anything. But I want to tell you, we do a lot of ministry. We do a lot of different things. We take the kids out on mission trips and we do all these other things. And we see people healed on the streets. We see a lot of baptisms. We see demons casted out, things like that. And one of the most impactful things that's happened to me in my time on a mission trip, or really even in youth ministry, was I had a 13-year-old kid pray for me under a tent in Pennsylvania in the back of a high school. And getting prayed for by this teenager, it wrecked me in a deep way. So I can't encourage you enough. If this is you, if you need youth restored in your spirit, or if you just want more, now is the time. It's here. The kids are ready. Come and receive. Thank you.